Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I know every time you see me and you look at Dennis, two good-looking guys, just two brothers hanging out. First of all, I think I do live in Levy County. I've been coming here for about 20 years, but it's like home. It feels like home. I grew up in Baldwin, so this is home. When I'm passing all the cows and all the farmland, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what this is. I've been doing some stuff. I've been doing some work here that we've been trying to do for about 20 years, so I finally was able to kind of break through a little bit, and I'll share kind of what's going on. But before I start, look, you guys know me. I just say what I say. I mean, I always tell people, I didn't ask you, you asked me to come, so I'm just going to say what I'm going to say. You might not bring me back, but I don't care. I'm going to say it. I'm going to start with this, because Bradley was singing that song, He Is Able. I mean, how many people really believe he's able? I mean, like, really believe he's able? See, I'm asking that question because if you really believe he's able, then you know it's finished. Everything that's happening in Levy County, it's already finished if you truly believe he's able. Now I'm going to hit you with this question. The teacher's going to come out and me, Amy. Here's the $64,000 question. What is your mission statement as a Christian? What's your mission statement? What's your mission statement? I mean, everybody, I'm a Christian. Okay, so what does that mean? What's your mission statement? I mean, because if you really are, the mission statement's pretty simple. Serve others. I mean, that's truly it. So now let's think about that mission statement and then ask yourself, are you really living out that mission statement? I mean, really? See, that's kind of how I went into the schools, because every school has a mission statement. So I read the mission statement, and then I said, are we really living out this mission statement? That's a yes or no question. That's not sometimes. That's not maybe. No, you're either doing it or you're not. So when you look at our kids, now we ain't living that out. And you have to be honest with that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, first I want to start with the parents. Because I'm a parent. I have three kids. They'll tell you, daddy's crazy. I'm going to be crazy to my last breath. Because I only have one purpose, to raise them right so they don't come back. I don't need you back in the house under any circumstances. I need you to be a lion to be able to handle your stuff. So, parents, here's what I'm going to really need. And Weber and I talked about this. I'm crazy, man. You know I'm going to say it. We got to have courage. I mean, as a parent, you have to have courage. Courage to do the right thing. And we know what the right thing to do. I mean, seriously, we don't know what the right thing to do? Come on. Sure we do. See, when I think about Jesus, here's what I think about. Two words, courage and compassion. Courage and compassion. He had the ability to do the things that no one else wanted to do. They talked about it a lot. They talked about it a lot. They talked about making the changes a lot. They talked about what we needed a lot. But yet, they lacked the courage to do it. And he was compassionate. I mean, he listened till you complained about it. He listened. He's real compassionate, but he kept doing the work. He didn't let it slow him down. See, I think some of us, we confuse being compassionate with, see, I call it just being lazy. You're not being compassionate. If you sit there and you know what the problem is and you listen to someone complain about it, right, but you do nothing about it, you don't really redirect them, you don't really have the courage enough to say, listen, you need to stop complaining and get to working. See, that's just lazy. Because we're allowing people to do something that they shouldn't be doing. Part of the mission statement, right? Say serving others. It's like Weber called me up sometime. I'll call him up sometime. And I'll have a serious problem. And I'll tell him. He don't let me off the hook. He tell it to me straight. That takes a lot of courage. But it goes back to what Bradley said. When you got a real friend gonna tell you some truth. But see, he's like a brother, but a real brother. See, your family will let you slip and slide sometime. But not a real friend. Not a real friend. A friend who has courage. So as a parent, you have to have courage to do the right thing. If you know that your kids aren't being educated, if you know that there's no real compassion down at the school, if you know that the kids are being bullied along, then do something about it. It's simple. It ain't hard. You teach people how to treat you. I'll say that again. You teach people how to treat you. That's what Jesus did. He taught people how to treat them because he had courage and he was compassionate. And he didn't change. No matter how you came at him, he did not change. I am that I am. I always tell people, wherever you see me, I'm the same guy. I'm not changing. I'm too crazy to change. I don't have time to be changing. Anything I want in my life, I believe he's able and it's finished. So I go get it. That takes a lot of courage because a lot of times you're just out there by yourself. And as parents, here's what I want you to remember. All parents don't parent the same. And you got to be okay with that. I remember every time my kid come home telling me about what some kids were doing down the street. I said, what's their last name? They said, well, Dad, they're the Smiths. I said, what's your last name? Well, it's Gunther. Well, that's who I'm concerned with. Don't really care how the Smiths run theirs. This is how we run ours. That takes a lot of courage. It really does. I mean, because some of the times you're going to be going against the people that say they love you, that say they're in it for the right reason. Because we've been talking about the culture shift forever. We've been talking about the change forever. Am I supposed to believe that we're not smart enough to get it done by now? I mean, God created the world in 6 days and then rested on 7. We're going on 2 decades and we still ain't moved yet. So I'm starting to believe that the mission statement ain't really a mission statement. I think it's just you're talking to hear yourself talk. I just think the world's full of big talkers and little walkers. I do. Courage. It's important. You have to have it. Compassion. You have to have it. It's important. Hey, kids, and I know right now you think your parents don't know what they're talking about. In the words of my grandfather, keep living. You go ahead and keep living. And parents, I'm here to tell you, if your kid is 6 years old and you're still trying to prove to your kid that you love them, you have failed miserably. You have. I see parents and all they're doing is just trying to satisfy little Johnny. And look, you better get a job. I mean, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to lead you. That's important. That's important. That's leadership. And if you're a leader, you can do that. If you're a leader. I think about heart, hustle. Jesus had a lot of heart, a lot of hustle, a lot of hustle. Just walked everywhere. Can you imagine just walking everywhere, talking about God? Can you imagine that? Just walking the land. Most of us don't even want to walk to the corner store. And if we do walk to the corner store, we walk in so slow and so lazy. Anybody looking at us don't want what we got. When he walked, everybody did what? Followed. See, you can see that magnificent light. It's what I say about kids. People always ask me, man, why kids like you? Kids dig me, man. Because I'm going to tell them the truth. That's why. Because I give them boundaries. I set expectations. I do not lower them. It is what it is. The game of life is waiting on you. And if you want to win it, you better work for it. That's a lot of heart, man. You got to have heart to do that. You got to have hustle. Hustle. Mr. Weber and I had a friend called, his name was Dr. David Langston. He's the one who brought us together 20 years ago. When Dr. Langston passed away about 5-6 years ago, we totaled up the miles. We had driven over 340,000 miles in our cars across the state of Florida. You know how many miles that is? That's hustle. That's grinding. See, our kids today don't have coping skills. They don't know how to grind. Not their fault. Not their fault. Mom and daddy fault. See, as a parent, I don't understand how we want. When I hear parents say to me, I want my kid to have it better than I did, I just look at them like, what are you even saying right now? Because most of the parents that say that are successful people. They are successful people. And if you ask them about their background, if you ask them about their lifestyle growing up, here's what they say. It was hard. Man, my parents worked me. It was crazy. I mean, I had to do this and I had to do that. And here's what I say. So if it didn't kill you and it worked for you, why is that too good for your kid? Well, because we don't want little Johnny to go through something. I mean, Jesus was crucified. That's why I keep telling you, we're arrogant people, man. We are. We're arrogant people. We're very arrogant people. We don't want to go through anything, but yet we sit here and we want to sing and pray about somebody that suffered, laid down his life, so we don't even have to worry about this thing. That's why I tell you I'm crazy, because it's finished. I've already won. Game over. Game over. But I know how to hustle. I know how to grind. When I showed up whoever's house today, here's what I hit him with. You might want to write this one down. This one coming right at you. No matter how bad the economy is in the jungle, the lion never eats grass. I don't care how bad it get. It could be flooding. It could be a drought. It could be whatever it want to be. Lion ain't eating no grass. That's the kind of heart and hustle you better get. Because you're not going to get what you deserve. You're going to get what you work for. That's how it works. We all think we deserve the best. I'm telling you right now, every day I wake up, I say, you know what? I should be on a boat fishing right now. I shouldn't be paying any bills. I should be just living large. Unfortunately, I got this habit. I like to eat. And my kids like to eat, even though they're grown. I mean, it gets worse when they're grown. They keep coming back. They eat up all the food. Then they leave. So you got to have heart and hustle. And we all can have that. It's simple. As my grandfather would say, it's going to be all right when you make it all right. You got to make this all right. You want to change this town, really? You want to change the culture in this town? Then have heart and hustle. I just don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, here we are in 2017 and we still talk about race relations. I'm fiberglassing. Race relations in 2017. Still talking about it. Still a house divided. Man, let me tell you something. If Weber calls me and something's going down, I don't care how good or how bad, I'm coming. And I'm way darker than he is. I'm coming. And when I get to where he is, who's ever there that's causing the problem, they better leave. I mean, that's just the way I am. See, I don't, you know what it's like. Here's what, when I think of race relations, here's what I think about. I fly a lot because I speak for a lot of companies all over the place. And they put me on planes and they'll say to me, Mr. Gunner, you want to fly first class? Where? I said, no, just put me on the plane. And I get on the plane and I'm walking through first class. And the people in first class, I mean, look at you when you walk by them like you're a second class citizen. You know what I mean? Like, why are you getting on my plane, right? So you go in the coach and you sit back in coach. And I'm saying to myself, if the plane crashed, we all dead. I mean, I hate to tell you, but when we land in Philadelphia, we all gonna get off the same plane. That's how I look at race relations. I mean, you sitting here acting like what? Like you better? In the words of my papa, you ain't better than nobody and ain't nobody better than you. Can you imagine if Jesus would have said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put all the red ones over here and put all the green ones over here. Like then these here. How do you go that you are a Christian, right? Like you really believe, like he died on the cross, like it's all done, it's all finished, and you're going to go into heaven and sit in the black section or the white section? Dude, call me crazy. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You understand where I'm at? See, at the end of the day, when I go to these schools and I look at these kids, they all failing. They all in trouble. Play if you want to. The game of life is about green. How much you got? What can you pay for? And can you pay for it on time? It don't care if you came from Bronson, Jacksonville, New York, Miami, LA. It don't matter. If you don't got that, you got nothing. So I say, if you got the money, honey, I got the time. I don't get it. Like, I just don't understand how you're in the same place fighting for the same things. Everybody want a happy family. Everybody want to take great vacations. Everybody want to have money in the bank, no matter who you are. I don't get it. I spoke 2 weeks ago in Tampa, Florida. This is the funny part of my job. So imagine this. I'm 54, so I'm getting up there now. But when I started this, I was 35. I get a call to come to Tampa to speak. It was to speak for this group called the YPO. It's the Young President's Organization. It was only seven people, seven. And when they told me how much they was paying me, I said, there is a God. I said, I'll be there. I already knew how it's going to be when I got there. They get me over to Clearwater Beach. They put me up in a hotel that's $700 a night. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't pay $700 a night if I had $1 million hanging out my pocket. I wouldn't pay $700 a night. Are you kidding me? You know how much grocery I could buy with $700? But they were paying it. So it is what it is. I'll be a king for a night. But I walked in and I already knew. There's seven people, six guys, and one woman. And nobody looked like me. Now, can you imagine that if I had a race relation problem? But here's the funny part. You know what I'm sitting there thinking? I'm thinking, I have seven CEOs of multi-million dollar corporations paying me a boatload of money to get information to make their companies better, and I don't look like anybody in the room. And I guarantee you, if I went into their organizations, there'd be no one in the room look like me. And I'm going, do you see the irony of this? Do you see the irony of this? That's why we got to make a change. I keep telling people, me and Weber can get together. We can change this thing overnight. We just walk in. Two good-looking, bald-headed men. One tall, one short. Ebony, ivory. Lay down some stuff and game over. Because it's simply about courage, compassion, heart, and hustle. Because what you get with us is intellect. You get knowledge. You get wisdom. That's why they listen to Jesus. He had education. And boy, his education was serious. So I keep telling people, just educate yourself. That's all you got to do is educate yourself. And in education, it is about communication. You have to communicate because we're way more alike than we are different. Way more. But you know most people aren't successful because what are they doing? They're talking so they don't hear each other. You got to be quiet. Listen well. Didn't Jesus steal away? He just steal away, didn't he? He just go sit. Listen, there's days when I'm driving along, I forget that I haven't listened to my radio in 3-4 days. Because he can't talk to you when you got a lot of clutter in your ear. I need Jesus to talk to me. Every time I talk to you, what do I say? Man, pray for me. Because I need some Jesus. God knows I need it. Because I just put it out here like this. If our kids are going to do better. Kids, look up here. Here's what I want you to do. Try this. Go to school. Get there on time. Do your homework. Turn it in. Study hard for your tests. Ace your tests. Here's what I promise you. You will start liking school. You got to educate yourself. At the end of the day, that's what's going to stand. It's what's between your ears. I keep telling people, look, people don't invite me in to speak at all these different places because I'm 6 foot bald-headed and cute, even though that's enough. That should be more than enough, but that's not why. They bring me in because they think I can bring information that will make a difference. So if you want to change the culture in this town, information. Information. For years, when people introduce me as a motivational speaker, here's what I say. I'm not a motivational speaker. I've said that for 19 years, but yet they still do it. And let me tell you why I'm not a motivational speaker. Because there's no such thing as motivation. No such thing. You want me to prove it to you? Watch this. If there was such a thing as motivation, you guys come in here and you read the Bible, you read the verses, Jesus told you just how to do it, right? And most of us have been coming to the church for a very long time. Is that right? So if there was such thing as a motivation, we wouldn't be having this conversation because we'd be doing things right. Because our spirit would be right. You understand what I'm saying? Kids, if there was such thing as a motivation, your mom and daddy wouldn't have to keep telling you to make up your bed. They wouldn't have to tell you to clean up your room. See, because they're telling you right, but you're still not motivated to do it. Because God, when he created us to take the path of least resistance. It's unnatural to be motivated. When you're trying to be motivated, you know what that is? That's going against everything you were created to do. Because motivation is about being what? Uncomfortable. If you're trying to get motivated, what? That's uncomfortable, right? If you want to get fit, that means, oh, I got to eat right. Now I got to go to the gym. Now I got to walk. You see how that's going against everything that your mind really wants to do? So there's no such thing as motivation. You will never be motivated. You know what life's about? Information and decision making. That book gives you all the information you need. You need to make a decision. You're either going to follow it or you're not. That's what it is. It's not about motivation. It's about inspiration. It's about taking all the knowledge that I just talked about, the intellect, and then making a decision to do right. I promise you, your life will be a sum of the information you've received and the decisions that you've made with that information. Your life will be the sum total of all of that. So what I'm really saying to you, if you're in a place that you don't want to be, look in the mirror. Don't be blaming mom and daddy. At some point, every person gets to write their own story. Every person gets to make the decision what they want to be and do with their life. We have countless stories of people who've come out of Chiefland, came out of Bronson, came out of Williston, that went on to do great things. They ain't no better than anybody else. All they did was took the information and made a decision. There's people here have no problem with race relations because they made a decision. Again, I don't know how you can be a church and have a problem with race relations. I don't get it. And there's so many churches, like, in this whole area. It's like, seriously? I mean, there's so many. I'm like, this thing should have been cleaned up a long time ago. But that means you're talking about it. You ain't doing it. It's about having the right spirit. Jesus had the right spirit. Yeah, he was just cool. He was cool like that. Walking around in sandals. Just cool. But his spirit was good. And everybody that got around him just wanted to feel that. And it's amazing when you're around a person who has a great spirit. Here's what you don't even recognize. You don't even recognize what they look like. You don't recognize their color. All you do is feel the spirit. No color. Not whatsoever. Dr. Langston used to tell me all the time, he says, I'm telling you right now, you're the only guy I know, man, you just transcend color. You just walk in, you start talking to people, go, oh my God. Like they don't even know. But I think that's why my grandparents named me Alman. With that German last name, Gunther. And I'm going to tell you, when you see that name on paper, do you see me? You do not see me, do you? When you see Alman Gunther on the paper, what you like, he going to be like 6'1", blonde hair, blue eyes. Oh, he going to be hot. And then I walk in, you're like, oh, he hot, but he don't look like that. I can't even tell you how many times I've been called in to speak and show up to the place and tell them my name. And they go, you're Alman? Last time I checked. See, but that's what I'm telling you. Yeah, man, you don't. Listen, God does what God does. And I keep saying if he comes back, 99% of the people going to miss him because you think he's going to look like, feel like, taste like something else. No, you better be open to the possibilities. Stop hesitating. You don't hesitate when you put your clothes on, right? Because you know how to do it, right? Well, stop hesitating when it's time to make the tough decisions. When you see something not right, say something. That's all you got to do, say something. Hey, I was at Williston yesterday, and I'm going to tell you right now. I know that there were some people over there that when I left, they were saying something about me. But in the words of my grandfather, guess what he was saying it? Under their breath. See, because I serve notice. If you're burned out, get out. You don't want to teach them, this ain't the place to be. Amen. You got to start doing what you say you're going to do. See, that's character. That's all that is right there, character. Is doing what you say you're going to do. And that's not hard, is it? Well, it's hard for some people if you just want to talk about it. We're going to get this done. I will not be moved. You can't run me out of Levy County. Can't do it. Try. I just show up. I'm like a bad penny. And every time I show up, I'm going to give you some hard information. And you're going to have to mull it over. You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to look in the mirror. Because that's what we all need to do. Because it's your mission statement. Your mission statement for your life. What is it? I was reading that last thing that if you were going to die today, what would you do different? What would be your mission statement? What would they say about you? How many people did you serve? Did you really help somebody? Or were you looking out for yourself? Most people go through life and the only people they help is that little group right there. Their little family. Right there. And their little family don't even like them. But you still there trying to help. Won't let go. I keep telling people we're the dumbest animals God ever created. Because all we do is try to hold on. Hold on. Have kids. We're going to hold on, Bradley. I'm going to hold on. Not me. Get out. Hold on. I'm just telling you. I hear people talk about it all the time. They have a kid. Oh, I hope I don't have to go to work. I go, man, the eagle hatched that egg. She goes right out, start bringing in food. I mean, the lion go hunting. But you don't want to do anything. You just want to sit around, huh? And then you want to just hold on. I don't get it. That's why we are where we are. I say teach them right, then let them go. Let them go so you can grow, so you can be better, so you can do some things. My youngest son turned 17 years old, but last year when he was 16, I remember when I gave him his car. Now, he's already started college because that's how I run it over there. Get out. He's 16. He's already in college. He's getting ready to finish up his first year. But when I gave him his car, he drove off. And I'm standing there at the end of the driveway, and I'm watching Austin drive off. And I'm like, wow, last one. Lo and behold, my daughter, who's 36 years old, I know it don't look like I can have a 36-year-old. I know I do. Baby lotion, baby. Lots of baby lotion. She comes up to me, and she says, how you doing, Dad? I said, well, you know, I'm good. I mean, your brother just drove off. I said, I guess he's pretty much, he's out of here now. Here's what she said. She said, Dad, you've been a great father. You've done your job. Go live your life. So you know what I did? Bought a condo on the river, and I'm spending all the money. I keep telling them, the last check I write before I die, I hope it bounces. That's where I'm at. That's what it's all about. And because I was able to let them go, I can be at Bronson and work with 150 kids. I could be at Williston and work with 200 kids because I was able to let those three go. Make your mistakes, but be authentic. Make some that I didn't make. I'm here for you. But the raising is done, baby. All I can give you now is advice. As parents, we are not doing our kids a favor by doing things for them that they should be doing for themselves. Poor Joshua Kenneth, every time I come over, he got to ride in the car with me and hear me rant and rave. You know what he heard me rant and rave about today? Be your own advocate. You learn to fight for yourself. Your parents done been to college. It ain't their job. You want it, you fight for it. That's what we got to teach. You want this area to be different, then fight for it. Then call people on it. And you can call them on it so simple. Here it is, and I'm going to let you go. Here's how simple it is. What's your Christian mission statement? That's all you got to say. What's your Christian mission statement? Are you living it? Are you living it? Because if you were, you realize that he's able. I didn't see in there where he said he was, some of us was his kids and some of us wasn't his kids. I think he said we're all his kids. We're all God's children. He didn't like discriminate in there, did he? He put us all in there. Then that's how we need to live. That's how we need to live. So the next time you have an opportunity, just ask them what their mission statement is. What's your family mission statement? What's the mission statement for your family? Are you modeling the way for your kids? Because kids do what they see. They say what they hear. So you better make sure that on the inside of you is a true mission statement. Because he's able. Oh, he coming back. Oh, I'm going to be ready too. Oh, we going to talk. Because I got plenty to say. You guys are so awesome. Dennis, you know, every time I come over here, man. Whew. Robin, I think I might have to start staying at the house, baby. They keep me over here a lot. A lot. All you got to do is feed me. You guys have a wonderful night.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.